السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We had discussed last week different occasions when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used a spider or used a spider to spin a web, and through that Allah Pak made somebody's hifazat. So one of the people was Hazrat Abdullah bin Unais radiallahu ta'ala, that he also had taken refuge in a cave after he had killed Khalid bin Sufyan Huzali on the instruction of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this time also, when the people were after him and he took refuge in a cave, then Allah Pak made a spider spin its web there, and this is how he was protected, he was saved. So Maulana Yaqub Sahib, the author of this kitab, he says that it is the heartfelt desire of the humble author to narrate the incident of Hazrat Abdullah bin Unais radiallahu ta'ala. So Abdullah bin Unais radiallahu ta'ala says, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam commanded me to kill a certain kafir by the name of Khalid bin Sufyan Huzari. Now there were few people, I think about three people, there were three operations like this that had taken place in the lifetime of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dispatched Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum on a mission to put an end to a certain individual. I think there were three incidents like this, subject to correction, but three that are in my mind, that where Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dispatched Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum to execute a certain person. The reason for this was that those particular individuals were causing a lot of problems. They were trying to stifle the progress of Islam. They were rallying people together. They were trying to put armies together, muster support, and go and fight against the Muslims. So in order to be saved from their fitna, Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered their execution. Had they been left to continue doing what they were doing, then it could have had a negative impact on the progress of Islam. So Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered their execution. So this was one of those people, Khalid bin Sufyan Huzari. So Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even told Hazrat Abdullah bin Unais radiallahu ta'ala where he will find him. He told him that you will find him near Arafat. You go to Arafat, and close to Arafat you will find him there. Now this was a journey that was going to take Hazrat Abdullah bin Unais radiallahu ta'ala plus minus 18 days. He had to travel from Madina Munawwara and go to Arafat. It was a journey of plus minus around 18 days. So Hazrat Abdullah bin Unais radiallahu ta'ala, he says, I set out from Madina Munawwara to complete this task. And as I neared Arafat, I found him at the exact same place which Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had indicated to me, that you will find him at a certain place near Arafat, exactly where Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me he will be, that is exactly where he was. The time, now some people will use this type of riwayat to claim that Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Alimul Ghaib. So we don't dispute the fact that certain knowledge of the ghaib was given to Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We don't dispute that. What we are saying is that Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cannot be called Alimul Ghaib, like how we refer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Alimul Ghaib. That is all what we are saying. That whether Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given knowledge of the ghaib, that nobody disputes. There are many things of the ghaib that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knowledge of. Nobody is disputing that. But to call Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Alimul Ghaib in the sense that, like how Allah Pak knows each and everything that happened, that will happen, that is happening, and that is where we say no. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't have that type of knowledge of the Ghaib. One ustad of mine had put it very beautifully. He said that if there is a bowl with red apples, so you say that there are red apples in this bowl. They are all red apples in this bowl. So the statement is correct. They are all red apples in this bowl. But does it then mean that all the red apples of the whole world are in this bowl? It doesn't mean that. It means whatever content is in this bowl is red apples. But there are still other red apples elsewhere in the world. So like that, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given a lot of knowledge regarding the ghaib. But to say that all the knowledge was given, no. That even Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself in the Quran Sharif, he says, I am not saying that I got all the knowledge of the unseen. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying it, then how can we go and say something against Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and against Allah Rabbul Izzat? Khair. So he says that I found him there. The time of Asr Salah had set in. And I thought to myself, he's saying, I thought to myself that if I'm going to go to read Asr Namaz, then I'm going to lose him. And if I go to engage with him, I'm going to miss my Asr Salah. Now even in a moment like that, but their concern for their Salah, that now my Namaz mustn't go. So what he did, I therefore made my Niyyah of Salah. I spotted him, I'm walking towards him. I made my niyat of namaz. As I'm walking towards you, I made my niyat of salah. And I performed my salah by means of signs. While I was walking, I read my Surah Fatiha, whatever ayat, I mean my ruku, bowed my head, picked it up, bowed my head a little bit more for sajda, and I carried on advancing towards him. Now, don't try it. You're not allowed to do it. Right? He did it. Now all the explanations and why he did it and whether it's permissible to do it and all that, that leave it to the Mufti Sahabs to sort out. We must just suffice to know that you can't do it. We can't do it, so don't try it. Unless you were sent on a mission by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to sort somebody out, which is not going to happen now. So we can't do it. Right? But one masla that many of us may be unaware of is that if we are on a moving conveyance, then we are allowed to read nawafil, nafil salah, on a moving conveyance, we are allowed to read nawafil, even though that conveyance may not be even facing Qibla. If you are traveling in a musafir and you are on a moving aeroplane, for example, so you want to read Tahajjud Salah and they are not giving place to read Namaz in the aisle or something, you can read your Tahajjud Namaz, how many rakats you want to read sitting there on your seat, even though you are not facing in the direction of the Qibla, is permissible. If you are a person who you love to read your Awameen, now you're going for program, to Durban or Escort or wherever, and now you're leaving straight after Maghrib, now you can't wait to read your whole Awameen, you're delaying the whole kafla. So then you go in the car, and once the car is moving and you're driving, you're on the highway, read your Awameen in the car. Read your Awameen, no problem. Read with signs, there's no problem. It is fine. This is nawafil, nafal namaz. You can read like that, there's no problem with it. Khair. You can even do it if you're the driver. If you're the driver also, you can do it. And even if you're pressing accelerator and brakes and everything, no problem. You're handling the steering too, no problem. You can still read it. It's okay. Nafal namaz only. Right. Khair. So he says, I made my niyat, I started reading my namaz. I completed my salah just as I reached him. Just as I reached him, I finished my namaz, I made my salam. So when I got near to him, he asked me, "Who are you? Who are you?" So I told him, "I'm an Arab." In other words, just like how you are an Arab, I'm your Arab brother. We're both Arabs. I explained to him that, look, I have come to you because I heard that you are plotting something. You are planning something against the Muslims. Planning something against the Muslims. You are preparing to fight the Muslims. So I wish to join hands with you. I'm also fed up with these Muslims now. And I wish to join hands with you. Now on occasions like this in war, it is permissible to speak these type of lies. It's permissible to speak these type of lies in love and in war. You say all is fair in love and war. So love and war, you can speak this kind of lies. Love where two brothers are fighting. You want to restore the love between them. So you go to the one fellow and you say to him, "Hey, I met that brother there. He was only talking good things about you, man." So he says, "Hey, but that fellow is my enemy. We fighting." I say, "What are you talking for? The way I spoke to him, like, he's your old bosom pal. He only had good things to talk about you." So now you created a good thought of that person. Although that person never say anything. He didn't say anything. But you created a good thought here. Now you go to that chap. "Hey, I met this fellow. He's talking so well about you. He's praising you like there's nobody else in the world." That fellow says, "No, but that man, I'm fighting with him. I haven't spoken to him in the past 6 months." I say, "What are you talking? He's only talking good things." So now you created muhabbat where there was a rift. You are closing the gap. You're building bridges here between these two people. But you see, to build the bridges, we find it very hard. To burn the bridges, that we find easy. To carry a tail and make more fire, that we find it easy to do. But where to go to people and try to patch things up, that is like a major effort. Let them forakar, they got their problem, let them carry on. No, this here, Allah Pak loves this action so much, that an action like speaking lies, which is something that is so detested in the sight of Allah Pak, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif that his lanat is upon the people who speak lies. Such a detested action. But for this action, Allah Pak loves it so much that he has even permitted that detested action. That action that is so detested, Allah Pak has permitted it for this. So how virtuous this action is in the sight of Allah Rabbul Izzat. So that's one occasion of love. Second instance of love is between husband and wife. Between husband and wife. Not that the husband can lie to his wife that he is going fishing and he's sitting in the casino. Not that kind of lies. That type of lies is lies. But where, for example, he came home, she has made something, she made something, she went out of her way, she made it. Now maybe that is something that, according to your taste buds, It's not up to mark, according to us. We must not say anything is wrong with the food. We must say the food is not nice. Food is always nice. It's a ni'mat from Allah. If we don't like something, must say I. Something wrong with me. I don't really eat this. So I don't. But you mustn't say this food is no good. Food is always good. That's a ni'mat from Allah. Always mention this. I must have mentioned it to you before. But we must keep reminding ourselves. It's beneficial for myself. Mauna A.S. Desai Sahib, author of the Majlis. So when he was imprisoned in Bangladesh and he was released. So when he was released, he came to Durban and he had a program at Maulana Magda Sahib's his madrasa. He had a program there. So I remember this thing so well, because that was the first day I saw Mahazir Rahmatullah Ali, He came there and I was looking at him and I'm thinking, for long I could just look at him. He was sitting in the same room. For a long time I could just carry on looking at him. So that's why I remember this program very, very well. So anyway, at the end of the program, after he explained everything now, what happened and all that, so then they said, anybody want to ask any questions? So people were asking him certain questions. So somebody asked him, Maulana, what food they were giving you in the prison? How was the food in the prison? Generally, prison food is going to be prison food, unless you're in South Africa. But so they asked him, that how is the prison food? How was the food? So he said, that question I will not answer. Food is a ni'mat from Allah. And whatever is written in your taqdeer, that food you will get. Whatever is written in your taqdeer, that food you will get. So we can't comment on food. Because what an answer. It's really something. All the other questions that people asked him, I can't remember, and what job he gave, I can't remember. This question, it's just stuck in my head, What a question. And now, at that time, the whole talk was like, we were speaking about these American CIA and how useless they are and this and that, and how frightened they are. They sat down to give him some fruit, he put his hand in the bag, they start jumping and all things like that he was talking. But when it came to this issue of the food, then, this is a person now, his heart and mind is connected with Allah Pak. So he's not just ranting and raving like us. He's talking, he's not just venting his frustrations and just carrying on. He's talking, but he's mindful of what he is saying. So when it came to this thing of the food, so they held his tongue. Because food is from where? Food is from Allah. So what I was telling you is all is fair in love and war. So between husband and wife now, if the husband came home and the wife made something which according to his taste buds, he don't really like that dish. But now he tells the wife, hey, so tasty this thing is. Now he's lying through his teeth, he can't eat it, he doesn't really like it. But he's saying, hey, so tasty this thing is. So why he's saying it's so tasty? Because he's thinking of the effort she put behind it. How much effort she put behind it. He doesn't want to break her heart. So to maintain the muhabbat, to maintain the love, so he speaks a lie like this, that is permissible in Shariat. So here too again, how much Allah Pak loves this action. That Allah Pak has even permitted lying. And the third type of lie is like this, in a case of war, where you need to deceive the enemy. But deceiving the enemy is not, in Islam, is not allowed. Now you enter into like a treaty. You enter into a treaty with the enemy and then you go against your word in the treaty. That is not allowed. Like those two Muslims at the time of the Battle of Badr. They were coming from some other direction. They didn't even know what's going on here. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they were now facing the enemy. Now there's a full-scale war going to take place here. And those two Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, casual, they coming from one safar somewhere, they don't know what's happening. They walked straight plumb into this whole thing. So the Quraysh arrested them, because they ended up by the Quraysh side. So the Quraysh arrested them. So they told them, look, we got nothing to do with this. We're coming from somewhere else. And our friends here don't have WhatsApp and BB and everything to send us a message. So we don't know what was going on. They were coming from a total different direction. So we got nothing to do with this fight. So they told these two Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhuma that we will release you all under condition that you all give us your word that you all will not go and join the Muslim army. So they say, right, we accept that arrangement, and they release them. Now you may think to yourself, but how foolish could those Quraysh have been? I mean, definitely they're going to go and join the Muslim army. We'll think like that. But that was a zamana when even a kafir's word was his honor. It was a zamana when even a kafir's word was his honor. Well, there are so many incidents like that. But now we don't have the time to go into the details. But anyway, this two Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, now they went to the Muslim side now, obviously. So they went to Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they explained to Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam what transpired. And they also expressed their desire that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but we want to take part in this jihad. We prepared to give our life here. Just that now to get released, we told them those things. And Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no. If you entered into that agreement with them and on that they released you, then you all don't take part in this fight. So that type of deception is not allowed. But here, this Sahabi was on a mission. I needed to befriend this person. He needed this person to drop his guard. So he made some story with him. He said, I heard you planning, you plotting everything. The fellow said, yeah, you know, I want to join you. I want to be part of your group. So he says, I continued speaking to him about these matters for a while until he was comfortable with me now. He got comfortable with me and we continued walking. So he thought now I'm on his side. He thought I'm on his side. And the opportunity then presented itself and I attacked him with my sword. Attacked him, killed him. And then when he was getting away, so that was the time now when they, you know, chased him and whatever, and he took refuge in the cave, and Allah Pak sent the spider to spin a web there, and they never entered the cave to come and look for him. After the whole search was died down, then he came out from there and he made his way back to Madina Munawara. And when he was, look at Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, a lot of times ulama, apas, teachers, etc., they always ask this question. They say that in our line of work, sometimes there's a lot of praise. So how do we, what's the antidote for this praises? It mustn't go to our head. Now look at this. Mission accomplished, everything single-handedly, is coming back now. Right? When he enters Madina Munawara, Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees him from a distance. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, this man was successful in his mission. He was successful in his mission. So now he comes close. When he comes near, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells him, you are successful in your mission. So listen to his jawab. This is the antidote. See? Antidote. Listen to his jawab. He says, no. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you were successful in your mission. You were successful in your mission. This was your mission. You were successful in your mission. Through your du'as, your tawajjuhat, you sent me. That's why there is this success. If the student gives the accolades to his ustad, the murid gives the accolades to his sheikh, and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we are teaching Sirah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and somebody come tell us, hey, one thing, I really enjoy your Sirah. Now we take it to our head. Now, hey, yeah, you see, arguing. Array, whose Sirah is it? The person is enjoying it because whose Sirah it is. Not because who's saying the Sirah. Whose Sirah it is. Just now if I start telling you about Napoleon Bonaparte and how he got torn apart and all those things, where are you going to sit and listen? Because it's Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Sirah, now you're enjoying the Sirah. So where are you enjoying my talking? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Sirah. So you hand it over, give it over. Don't keep it here in the head. Give it away. So a person gives it away. He says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your mission, you were successful in your mission. Not me. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave Hazrat Abdullah bin Unais radiallahu ta'ala a stick. Gave him one stick. And he told him, in Jannat, you must come meet me with this stick. In Jannat, you must come and meet me with this stick. Come to me with this stick. This was his in'am. His in'am on a mission well accomplished. So he kept the stick throughout his life. He kept the stick with him. And when he was passed on his deathbed, he made wasiyat that this stick must be buried with me. Buried the stick with me. You don't make wasiyat for your gold and silver and all, man. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't give you that. Yeah, this sahabi, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him something. So this sahabi, his nickname was also the man of the stick. He kept his nickname also, the one of the stick. So this was the incident of Hazrat Abdullah bin Unais radiallahu ta'ala. Our Hazrat Rahmatullahi talking about this ujub thing. I just give you one malfuz of our Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali. He mentioned that the king has got a palace and certain people are appointed as guards of the palace. So they are guarding the palace. So those guards of the palace, do they feel that, hey, that king needs to be grateful to me that I'm guarding his palace? Or do they feel that I must be grateful that the king is allowing me to be a palace guard? The king could have chosen anybody to be the guard. But he chose me, gave me a job, I'm getting paid good money because I'm a guard of the palace. It's the king's favor upon me. Otherwise he can dismiss me tomorrow and put somebody else there. So the person in the khidmat of deen, whenever he gets an accolade, he must think that it is Allah Pak's ihsan on me that he is allowing me to serve this deen. It's not my kamal that I'm serving the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Pak give us tawfiq. So today we finish the program. Like how Abbaji Rahmatullah Ali, Azimana Masullah Rahmatullah Ali, was my Sheikh Hual. When he used to finish 3 hour majlis, he finished 3 hours. When he finishes, say, Acha, Khuda Hafiz. After 3 hours, say, Acha, Khuda Hafiz. Allah Pak give us tawfiq to understand, tawfiq to make amal. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.